Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mary, Angelini, and Diane. Diane, are you there?
Hey, Mary. Sure I am.
Okay, wonderful, Diane. And you are listening to IWFFA Women Football Talk Continues. And tonight we are going to be talking about our just past Kelly McGillis Classic held in Key West, Florida. And we're going to talk about our upcoming tournaments and what's new and where we're going next with the IWFFA. So I guess, Diane, tell me what you did in the tournament and how you were involved in the tournament.
Well, I organized the event, and so it's been some months, about 3 months out, where it was full of busy work. You know, it's producing such an event. You put a program together, you get advertisers, sponsors, teams. What was significant this year in the 19th annual Kelly McGillis Classic was that we had a program with our Monroe County School Board, the school system. We invited every school in Monroe County to bring a girls' flag football team, fully sponsored by us and team owners. And that was brilliant, because last year or in years past, we would always sponsor the local girls. But financially, it was such a burden on us. And, you know, with the economy, there was a couple of mishaps last year, where we didn't receive monies that were owed to us. So what I did this year was I seeked out these team owners, local businesses, individuals, and they supported separate schools. And so it served two purposes. It brings more competition for our girls and junior division, which is from ages 8 to 14, 14 to 17. And it also is going to develop some really fine flag football programs for the girls in this in the southern region of Florida here. So that was wonderful. Yeah.
Was that the first time that any Keys high schools were represented for women's flag football?
Technically, you know, over the years we've had girls obviously who go to the school in the Keys. Who participated, but per se, I mean, we had Key West High School, Poinciana, HOB, Sigsby, Gerald Adams. We almost had Coral Shores, which would have been wonderful. That's a two-hour drive from Key West, and it would have brought, and it creates also, you know, within the schools a great competitive element, not just for the sport itself, but amongst the schools itself. So that's why it was really wonderful. And also, next year, now we have enough girls' teams that we can finally break down in a much better way those brackets. So we probably would have young youth ages 8 to 12. Then we probably would have girls 13 to or 12 to 13 or 12 to 14, something like that, and then juniors from 15 to 17. So that makes it much more fair. But so in the younger division, certainly, and then we're planting the seed for our adult leagues. You know, we had this year, we were missing a few of the teams, the veteran teams who normally come to Key West. Some of them have retired, and that's happening with the sport. You know, us planting the seed, you know, you have flag, women's flag football tournaments, but I don't believe you have women's and girls. I think we're unique, not just for that, but for the international element of it, for the fact that it's girls and women only. We don't have boys or men involved with the, you know, those divisions, those competitions.
Right.
So it's, and it's great, yeah. Uh-huh.
And now we did something, we did a few new things this year. We, I guess our last show, this is our third show, our third radio show, and our last radio show, I shared a link on our chat room, which if you're not logged in already, you can go and log into our chat and have make direct conversation with us. But I shared a video, and I think, Diane, you ended up finding it somewhere as well, the Boston, there was a Boston men's football league or a football team made it in a dance video for Ellen and asking Ellen to come on, come play with them or bring them to their show, and they want to be on the show. So we kind of made a twist. Diane had a great idea and twisted up a little and invite Ellen to our next event for next year. And so we made a video, and I wanted to share a quick little clip with you guys on if you can see the chat room. But if not, you go to YouTube and you search number 91 doing the Ellen Dance IWFFA Tournament Key West, and you're going to see a little clip of what we did. Now, I didn't do this. This is unofficial video. This is, but it's super funny. We have an awesome crew of people. I'm trying to put it in right now. Crew of people doing the Ellen Dance. If you want to click on that link, if you're in the chat room, if not, go to YouTube. Search number NUM91 doing the Ellen Dance IWFFA. Super funny. What else new that we had for this year, Ellen? Or Ellen, Diane?
Yes, I'm Ellen DeGeneres. And well, we had three loose women's teams. One was the international. We had our local women, Key West, which, but actually they made up a full team. But 2 days before the event, we lost one of our Mexican teams. The coach himself, the player, couldn't get a the visa. So in 2 days, we made up a loose women's team, and which was hysterical because we had the largest roster, you know. Of all the teams, we had filled up our roster 22 players, and there you saw just 8 or 9 players at each game. And that was fun because I don't know if people noticed, but the loose women's team is the only team roster that's allowed to be open throughout the competition. And usually what happens is we get a fan, we get a woman who watches the competition, and she's sorry she didn't sign up for the tournament. So what we've done is, and that and also we would have individual players not have their own team. We would put them all together. We called them these loose players, and then we decided to make its own team and call it the loose women's team. And I think every sport should do this because it's a different feel. You know, we haven't practiced like all the other teams, and we don't care if we win or lose, and everyone gets an equal amount of playing time. And with those rules in the tournament game, we really have a good time. So in my phone, I have a list of loose women, Alexander's Guest House Key West Loose Women's Team. I have the Holly's Key West Loose Women's Team. I have the International Loose Women's Team. I have all
the Women Without
teams.
Borders, is that the name, the Women Without Borders, that third one?
Yeah, Women Without Borders. And so that was also a special team. And there was you know, there's a lot of bonding in those teams, and they never lose contact with each other. It's really like a lifetime friendship that's developed. So that's unique. And,
yeah, we played, I play on the team Blue Wave, and we played two out of the three Loose Women, and we had the best time playing them against it. Not that, you know, we were creaming them, but that we really, they genuinely were having a good time on the field, which made us feel really comfortable with playing with them and not, you know, having more of a kind of like a recreation game almost. They're competitive, but it was so much fun, especially the European teams. They're just have a different way of playing than us American teams, but was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, it also, I mean, the reason why they're there, I mean, think about it. They travel the furthest, and there's different elements for these athletes why they're there. I mean, the local women usually are not as committed as the ones who come the furthest. You know, the local women are busy, you know, with their work schedules. I mean, some of them miss games, and meanwhile you have women from other continents who are definitely committed to not just the games, but all the social events, who are there also to help out, volunteer. I mean, the camaraderie. And this year, I mean, Mary, you have to admit that we had so many new teams, young teams.
Yes.
And
the
energy was just wonderful. Now, we had, you know, with the horrific weather that prevented flights from flying, we had one full crew of officials, and that included our head official, Scott Porto, couldn't come to the tournament until Friday. So the whole Thursday, normally we have three officials. We only had two officials per game, and that was every team played their two seed games. So there was plenty of games, 12 games. And also this year, we had included a round robin, so teams were guaranteed a minimum of five games. And I think I'm trying to explain the uniqueness of this event, because it's definitely different from regular tournament competition. We want to give the women as many games as possible. We'll spend the extra money. You can imagine, you know, for the team registration fee, that's $350. They get the five games. They don't get knocked out in a single elimination. It is a round robin. And then you have the championship, and then you also have that World Challenge game. So there's a lot of that World Challenge game.
That World Challenge game was awesome this year. You know, this is our third year that we've had it, and I participated in the first year, and every year it just gets better. I mean, and I love the way that this year that we had, you know, D1 they're playing back to back. So they're playing D1. The championship of D1 plays in the World Challenge game with their All Stars, an American and All Stars, international. But it was awesome because they're already pumped up, they're already dressed, they were all ready to go. I mean, it was really good timing. It was the best yet, I think.
Yeah, but I think Mary was the best yet because it was the third year. And the players knew about it. You know, last year was interesting. That's when we had a lot of individual players come up to the info table and ask throughout the tournament, am I elected? Was I nominated for the All-Star team? And so there was that energy and excitement. And, you know, originally we started the World Challenge because there were plenty of athletes in other divisions, not just the top division, who were elite athletes. Who just didn't make it into the championship games because the rest of the team couldn't make it to that status. But you had these wonderful athletes. Also, with all of our international teams, you know, it was interesting to find out who the better region was. Now, the Americans have been dominating the playing football for so many years. Last year that was broken. The Canadians, Quebec, took both the top two divisions of play, but prior to that, the Americans always dominated the flag football championships. So
that's really interesting, Diane, is that the World Challenge, the internationals won, and it was a great eclectic mix, and not one international team was on Division One, and they still took home the World Challenge game. That was awesome.
But you realize you had the Mexican coach who came to the tournament with a girls' team, young girls, who came with a team of women, and this coach, Eduardo Lopez, from Mexico, won both those championships. I mean, that has something to be said about.
Don't rub it in, Diane.
Well, wait a second. I mean, you know, you talked about the players not being in Division One, but they did have a coach that took two championships. So I think the coaching in that World Challenge was significant because, look, it was the first time. Well, it was the third year, Mary. Is that fair that we say that it was so unique? I mean, maybe it was just by coincidence the first 2 years the Americans won. I don't know. And don't forget last year, you know, the Americans won the World Challenge game, even though the Canadians
took first place in Division One and Two,
which is the top two divisions.
The point is that the international team took it home and this year, and not one international team was in Division One. So that means that you can still go and play a really good game in Key West, not in Division One, make it to the World Challenge game, and that's where it really shines. The Canadian team, and I can't remember their name, they're bright yellow. They struggled. I mean, they really struggled in their division and then really shined through. I mean, some of those players, those all-star players, played really good games and made some really good plays in that World Challenge game. I was really impressed.
The Quebec Electrics, they were a school who played non-contact. You know, Canada 7-7 is the big game up there. And so what was interesting was, and then there was another group from Orilla, Canada, which is near the Toronto area. They also almost came with a full team from that area in Canada. They played sevens. And, you know, so I waited to see what their feedback would be when the tournament was over. And I want to tell you, both these groups liked the 8-on-8 because it offered more running plays, more strategy. For the Orilla Blues, one of the fathers joined the team. He was coaching, and for him, that was the aspect that he really appreciated, was the different skills that were required in the 8-on-8. So it's interesting. You know, I don't know if I may be biased, and there's reasons why I like our rules with the semi-contact block from the shoulder to the waist. But when I traveled to Europe in the 90s, you know, like in Scandinavia, those countries, the main sport is soccer. They don't do with sports so much where they throw the ball. I mean, you have some basketball, and you have handball, by the way, is very popular. But if you don't play handball, really, I met up with so many Scandinavians who never did that handball, throwing the ball, period, that eye-hand coordination. And that, and also the football was an oval-shaped ball. So to get any woman to throw the ball decent was the biggest challenge. The biggest plays were the running plays. So yeah. If you're gonna have the 7-on-7 game, you gotta have a good quarterback, and everyone's gotta catch. So what I love about these rules is that you can have many different types of athletes from different sports joining in the huddle, and they would all be able to participate fully. They would have a responsibility, some big job in the game that made them meaningful and important, you know?
And we saw that this year. I think, I'm not sure if it was just a division that I got to play in this year, or I think just overall different kinds of teams. But we played some running teams. These girls can hit, they can hold their blocks, and their main way their main offense was a running game. And then you see the other players where they're used to the 7-on-7, and they don't use a lot of their linemen as assets, and you can see where just how the different teams they strategize, and it's so interesting, and I enjoy it. It's not predictable anymore, and I really like that variety of plays and teams. But there's another thing I wanted to let you know, and I just said it on the chat, is that the photos from Southernmost Photography just were released about an hour ago online, and I've posted the link on our this chat room, so you can check that out while you're listening to us.
Mary, I'm watching the link for the Ellen dance.
Oh, yeah.
It's great, man. It's great.
It's funny. That's huge. That's one of our Blue Wave girls, and she's awesome. So she's definitely breaking it down.
Are you also going to – now, Mary, you shot this. Mary, your production company, which was wonderful because I know it was hard for you during the tournament to stay focused. Your team, Blue Wave A – came down with two teams. The coach coached two really tough teams. They both made it into the championship. And also, I know it was tough for you to film and stay competitive, but I'm dying to see that second piece where we had a great majority of the women in the dance, and those Mexicans, boy, did they make the dance so much better. They just had a nice style. Those Mexicans are
They had the large. Groove. One of the main things that we, and before we move on, but one of the main things that I love about the IWFA and its events is that we always have some rocking parties. That we all, we play together really hard in the field, and then afterwards we get cleaned up and we go and we socialize together, and we have different events each night. And we had some really great events, and we are able to be competitive, especially a lot of us girls are really competitive anyhow. So it's a good time to be able to relax and be competitive. The bull ride was really fun. A lot of the girls got a kick out of that and went crazy. And then we had the cancer. We raised money for cancer for the wet t-shirt contest on Friday.
Relay for Life. Listen, by the way, one of my women on Alexander's Guest House Loose Women's team sits first in that bull ride. And as a matter of fact, every night, when we were on the field, the big question was who's going to represent the contest that night for the Alexander Guest House Loose Women. And we were really into those parties. But what's nice about that is that it takes the edge off of the competition on the field. If you can imagine women meeting the night before, socializing, partying, it really does cut the that super competitive edge. But, Mary, really this year, it was just wonderful. As an organizer, first of all, I got all these wonderful volunteers. It was tremendous work. People should understand the amount of work that's involved in producing an event like this. And the games, like the championships, they were very close scores, all of them. Well, except for the girls' division. Now, the Mexican girls beat Blue Heaven, Blue Angels. That was in the girls' division. They beat them 24-0, so that kind of was that was a kill. But then you had in the junior division, Acreage Wolverines took the championship, and that was a good game. You had in Division III, which is the lower division in the women's competition, the Chicago Beagle Daisies, who normally is not such a strong team, but they went in a wonderful bracket this year against you guys, Blue Wave B, and that was 19-0. Then you had Division II, Blue Wave A, which was your team, was defeated by the Mexican Vasqueros, which was 13-18. That was probably the second best game. I would say the World Challenge was really the best. But you had Division I, the top two teams. Richmond won 12, Blue Thunder 7. That was a very close game. And the best game had to be the World Challenge in overtime. So the game was tied, and it went into overtime, and it was 19-18. So you couldn't have asked for it. In a competition, you want to bring the top teams down to those championship games, and that's exactly what we did. So we had a great we'll do it again. We'll give as many games as possible to get a true breakdown on the division. Mm-hmm. Now, the girls, do you want to go on to the next subject? Do you want to talk about the girls, like the girls' rules, what had happened?
Yeah, well, we can let's go to talk. Let's talk about, like, our upcoming events, since it sounds
– Oh, okay.
Gee, Diane, this sounds so cool. How can I get in? No, really, but if you miss this event, we're having our 20th anniversary next year, but Meanwhile, you can get a taste of IWFFA tournaments because we're having. What are the dates for the European tournaments, Diane?
All right. The next tournament coming up is going to be Euro in Denmark. That's going to be the sixth annual at the end of May, May 30, 31st. And that's like, that's probably Division III, Division II, okay? Then you have Oslo, Norway, which will be the 11th, I'm sorry, Euring was the 7th annual. Oslo, Norway is the 11th annual. That's going to be the end of June. That'll actually be their Pride Week, by the way. And last year, the teams marched in that Pride Parade, which was really nice. We had the American team, Blue Thunder, come and compete. They took first, and it was the championship game could have been won by the Norwegians. But then you have Gothenburg, Sweden, which will be the 9th annual. That'll be the first week, Labor Day weekend in September. And then we have P-Town, Massachusetts, 6th annual, the third weekend in September. So just we're only going to take a few teams for P-Town, either 6 or 8. So we're going to have teams sign up early for that. That's a nice place to have a tournament, but you can't get fit in so many teams.
Oh, but, man. No, that's not good.
Okay.
I think we've claimed our spot, I hope.
Say again?
I hope we've claimed our spot. Blue Wave from Florida is going up to Massachusetts for this one.
Well, you know, it's nice. You're going to have to get your team registered. You're going to have your roster together, and the most organized teams are going to get in there first. That's for sure.
But you know, we had that. I remember we had some new teams from Boston as well that came down this year. They were.
Yeah, we had the Boston Rebels, and there was the first time that they played in. They were really nice women. And again, I can't say how wonderful it was. Everybody, the energy was just beautiful. And I think all of our tournaments are very special. They don't have that just the games and that's it. It's more social. It's more bonding. It's more personal. And definitely it's a wonderful feel. Now, what else is going on, though? So to get ready for our 20th in Key West and to build and expand the IWFFA, we're traveling. Our promotional tour will take place for 3 months. We invite any woman who wants to join us, and we have a handful of women who are going to join us. We're going to Scandinavia, and we've already been invited to visit different cities in Norway to start new teams there. We'll travel to Denmark and Sweden, and then we go over to Africa. And we are working on getting airline tickets for those Africans. So they will join us for our 20th blowout tournament in Key West. We want to have 36 teams next year, which means 24 women's and 12 girls, juniors, youth teams. And so it'll be a great event for that reason, large numbers. And then also we want – Kelly McGillis will be there. And we want Kelly McGillis, who's the actress of Witness, Top Gun, those movies, and we want Ellen DeGeneres. We want her to see this YouTube video and to get her attention to come and invite. That was the purpose of that video, which was a ball. We had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fun. So we were going to Africa. I mean, that's just it's really neat. What part of Africa? South Africa? Is there a specific area? Like, how are you, where did this come about?
We have been invited to four different countries, Ghana, Nigeria, South Africa, and four countries, and so we're going to go to two countries.
Okay.
I'm looking on my promotional tours because now I just did a brain fart on those countries. I'm looking it up right now. Kenya. Thank you. Kenya. South Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, Ghana. We've been invited the last 2 years to go to these countries. My personal schedule having to work, make money for a living, I couldn't travel. But this is the year, 2010. We're doing 3 months on the road. And any woman who wants to join us now, you got to understand, it's amazing. When you're going to a country and introduce a sport like we did in Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and Iceland, you know, you made such a great achievement. So anybody out there listening who wants to join us, contact us. You're more than welcome to participate. Me, myself, I was there in the 90s with Scandinavia, and here I am. I'm 50 years old, you know, and as you get older, you know, you like to have these wonderful experiences and achievements. I certainly feel proud, and it's a wonderful opportunity for any woman out there to come join us. So that's what we got going, and we're expanding. It's international. But, you know, Mary, every time we bring a new country into the sport and they compete with us, you know, we learn something from them. Our culture, we are Americans, born in this country. We definitely behave different than the Scandinavians, the Europeans, or the Canadians and the Mexicans. You know, it's just fascinating, I think, the differences in attitudes and behaviors, you know, all surrounding sports competition. So,
Very cool. So you're going to set up leagues there, and I guess, to continue play. Is that the goal?
Say again?
So you're going to set up leagues there and teams there. Is that the goal in Africa?
The goal is in two of those countries that I mentioned, in two of those countries that we develop four teams so that they can have their competition. And we have to teach them not just how to play, we have to teach how to officiate and how to coach. And what is going to happen is they're not going to know. We've been working on, IWFA has been working on skills tape the last 2 years. And you know that, Mary, because we filmed it. We actually filmed it last year, but it's been in the making for 2 years. And they're going to, like with the skin, like the Swedes. When I did a training with them in Gothenburg, Sweden, I had three trainings with them, and that was it. I had to go. I had to go back home to my plane ticket was ready to was coming up. So I had to leave them after three trainings. And I told the woman there, that was Lena, I said, I'm sorry, I got to go. I don't know really how we can support you now. She says, well, give me the rules. I said, well, here's the rules. And they learned by playing the game, by reading the rules. In America, we learn by watching the men play on TV. And that's interesting, Mary, because when the women in America play flag football, there's a lot of women who don't truly understand the rules, the penalties. And here you have these new teams from Scandinavia who've learned by reading the rules first and then getting out there on the field. And like it was a Danish woman, who asked me to jot down the positions, the eight players. And she pointed to, I was making X's and zeros. And she asked me, what position is this? She pointed to the QB. And I said, no, that's the quarterback. She says, but why do you call the quarterback the quarterback? And I said,
you have no idea.
I said, because she's the one who throws the ball. And then she says, but there's only three people back there. And she was absolutely right. And it was a profound moment, Mary, because women's sports piggybacks off of the men's sports. And a lot of terminology like sportsmanship insinuates male only. And the women's sports, you know, we need to be more thoughtful in our rules. You know, like with the IWFA, it's a mix. It's been modified through the years. But, you know, we easily could have piggybacked off of various men's leagues. And I'm not sure how the men's leagues had decided for their rules. You know, in the early 70s, that was the big boom for the flag football, and it stuck, really. It's been in existence. And you think about it, for all the women's sports, though, we have to realize that we really need to develop the women's game. That's why I said all these years that the women need to run their own sports programs, because there's a different flavor, there's different emotions when the females get on the field, et cetera. So I think it's really interesting.
You know, and that, and we had this discussion before we got on the radio this evening about, you know, basically, I understand that this is a women organization, it's a women-run organization. However, I want to point out that this past tournament would not have gone off the way that it did if we did not have men helping us and being our coaches and being our referees and volunteering and, you know, being the chain gang. I mean, on every level of this, you know, we're getting help from the opposite sex. And so my point is that we are a women organization. We need to embrace it. We need to be mindful of why we say things and how we say things. At the same time, we want to make sure that everyone feels welcome in our organization.
Yes, we need everybody in our society, for sure, Mary. And I mean, not just in sports, but I mean, everything in our society, in the business world and political world, you will find that there are the men. And my personal view is that the men have been playing a major role in politics, in the social world, in business world. They have been the ones to create the rules. I mean, women in America were not allowed to vote until 1919. And for that reason, and because I'm older, I'm a generation just before you, Mary, the women's movement, that was my era. I feel more like a soldier in fighting for women's rights. I mean, I will draw the line and make it very clear that I want women to take these leadership roles. I want the women to be out there officiating our games and to coach our games, and because their leadership roles that they would learn tremendously, and everybody has a first day doing these things. You know, I hear a lot of women say, I've never coached before, I've never officiated before, but that's how you learn those leadership skills. And to be clear, of course, the men have, and most of the men who have been involved with the women's, our organization, have been phenomenal. Ed Gonzalez, your coach. I mean, this is a guy who I love dearly. Scott Porto, Bill Clickguard, Brian Johnson. These are guys who have been coming to our tournaments, officiating, really respecting the women. And there's just so many more men out there, Mary. But I really wish that the women would take on the roles. It's a wonderful opportunity to be a part of this organization. So.
You make a really good point, and that kind of leads me to another point that we haven't really discussed, though, Diane, is that most of the women in this organization are grown women, and there are leaders in each team that attends an IWFFA event, attends as a member of the IWFFA. I think that we really need to be taking more responsibility for ourselves to dedicate to learn how to ref. To possibly, you know, if you're injured one year, to really step out and you know, volunteer to ref or volunteer to coach a little girl, teach a little girl, a local little girls team. I mean, we need to be responsible for ourselves, and you are completely right. However, we also need to accept the help from everyone else. That, you know, it takes time for us to gain confidence, and you know, I know my team especially tends to be a little bit younger team, but we need to be taking responsibility and helping this organization grow and not pointing the finger, someone else can do it. You know, we need to really, I challenge every team to teach someone else how to play football. I challenge your little sister, teach your neighbor, teach them how to throw a ball, teach them how to pull a flag, teach them how to block, because those skills, they will gain confidence, and so will you, and you'll help football out and women's sports.
But, Mary, we also, the IWFA offers clinics to teach women how to officiate, how to coach. We've had these trainings, and we continue to offer groups who would love to learn how to do these skills. By the way, on the blog, Mary, somebody just, I'm reading something about Nigeria. You're right, Nigeria is in maybe in political uproar, so we may not be able to go to Nigeria. That's why those four African countries that I mentioned, most likely we will only travel to two of them because of the time frame and because of the politics, you know. Ghana, I think, also is not such a great place for women, and so we have to think about all those aspects of the country, where it is politically and how safe it is to travel. South Africa is a good bet, I think, and we'll see about Kenya, too. So anyway, so okay, Mary. So,
I know that you had mentioned that we will be we'll be having specifically a Skells clinic in West Palm Beach. Is that correct? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, we get emails from many different groups, Parks and Rec, schools, youth organizations, which is wonderful. I guess people are paying attention to our website. And so we've been requested for these play football clinics. The next one coming up is going to be in Palm Beach, Florida. We'll have a flag football clinic for 16 women. And they're going to decide. It was a nice conversation. I had a woman who was in charge of the Parks and Rec out there. Her name was Lindsay. She called up. She wanted to ask about the rules because currently they have co-ed rules. And she was thoughtful enough to consider a different set of rules just for the women. And it was a nice conversation because I told her, you know, it might be easier for you to just stick with the co-ed, the non-contact for your women. But she wanted to hear what the differences were. And so that was a long conversation. And then I had offered if she would just want us to come up there and we do a clinic and let her women decide which rules they want to use. So that was refreshing because sometimes organizers get overwhelmed and they just want to do the easiest. And certainly the easiest for that area would have been to piggyback off of the co-ed rules or the men's flag football rules. But she was thoughtful enough to try to find the best rules suited for her women. So we'll see what happens. So that's going to be the second or the third week in March, most likely second week of March.
And if someone out there listening wants to learn contact flag football rules and wants you to come to their town and help organize that, how would they do that?
Email us. Email us at IWFFA@IWFFA.com. We support another way clinics. We will travel to your city and train. We do intensive training, 3 hours. We do a good basics for beginners. And we can also do intermediate and advanced. But if that's the case, if it's going to be intermediate or advanced level, then we just suggest that all of your players, athletes out there at the training are of that level. A lot of times what happens is groups ask us to come offer a flag football training to help them start a new league. And what we always find is that we have these different levels of skill, and so you try to tie them all in. You know, you want to teach the beginners, but you also want to include the higher skilled athletes. But it always summates into a scrimmage game, and that's what makes it the most fun. And so they just have to merely email us. They could call us on our phone, 888-GO-IWFFA. That's toll-free for Canada and the United States. And if they're from abroad, other countries, and they want to phone in, the area code is in the U.S., 305-293-9315. So this year for the IWFSA promotions and our promotional tour, we definitely want to start many teams in Scandinavia, in Africa, and we are open to many cities inside the United States. And I think we're also going to get the invite to Orilla, Canada. we'll see there too, because like I said, the Canadians like our rules and they want to try to bring it into their region where 7-on-7 is their big game. So we'll see. There's room for many different types of rules, you know. For us, though, we like to have one set of rules so that we can rank teams nationally and internationally. And our goal is to professionalize the sport. And to do that, you need one set of rules. So we believe that the 8-on-8 semi-contact is very exciting and allows different types of women, no matter what their shapes are, if they can catch the ball or not, if they're fast or slow, and that they have a good participation in the rules that we use currently. What do you think, Mary?
Well, I love our rules, and I learned how to throw football. I learned everything there was about football. I think we had this discussion three episodes back, but I learned everything in high school, playing in a high school varsity level girls flag football team. After going through that, I did the college route 7-on-7, but I didn't read the directions when I applied for Loose Women down in Key West, and I got a nice little shock. I got beat up, and it aggravated me because I didn't know people could hit, and I didn't get it. I didn't understand until I realized it, and I came back and I continued to really sharpen my blocking skills and my the understanding of playing the blocking game. I think it's a lot. I think it really just adds so much more. I mean, it's just, you get to really help your teammates out. If there's a kickoff return and my teammate next to me catches the ball, I can go and help her by running up and blocking someone. I don't have to just cheer her on while crossing my fingers that no one pulls her flag. I can help her, and my whole team in front of her can help her. And it's much more of a strategy game, and I love that. I love that about our rules.
Something about regarding which rules to use for flag football. One of my concerns is, like, with the girls. You know, I think that parents or schools or just our society here in the U.S. Still have this old-fashioned idea that girls should not be playing rough and tough games. And I think that when it comes to flag football, automatically non-contact is preferred by parents and schools for that reason. And,
yeah, and
I worry,
you know,
about that.
You have to, obviously, there's little boys at 8 years old. They don't suit up into their contact gear and go out there and play contact. There's a little league schedule, and there's, like, just like softball, they don't just jump in fast pitch. I mean, any sport that's a little bit more physical, that there's an upgrade, and you have to teach those skills first before you can, you know, really progress in the game. So, you know, I understand where you're coming from with the 7-on-7, and a lot of the parents aren't very comfortable with their little girls, especially, playing contact. A lot of them just don't understand what that means, and I think that's our responsibility to tell them what that means and show them what that means.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you believe it's because of the thought that girls should not be playing such a contact game?
You know what, I think that basketball, even though it's a non-contact sport, I think that softball, there's contact in softball. I think there's a lot of women's sports that are contact. And is it like Division I women's contact? Absolutely not. Or Division II women's contact, or even Division III women's contact? Absolutely not. But, I think, yes, of course there's hesitation when you talk about contact and there's no padding. A lot of people don't understand. A lot of people don't understand when I play it, when I tell my chiropractor why I'm in there for the 15th time in a month, they don't understand the rules of play. And I think that it takes the responsibility of the players, the members of the IWFFA, to explain to them how the rules are played. It's safe. It's a safe game. And I think it's our responsibility to teach them.
Well, wait a second, Mary. You mentioned basketball, softball, other girls' sports. In those rules, even though there is an inadvertent contact, in their rules, contact is not allowed to be made. And in our rules, contact is allowed to be made. And that's why I think it's a wonderful sport for girls and women to participate in, because on the field, on a controlled environment, you have that direct contact, that challenge. And in our society, talking about other areas of our lives, like in the business world or the political world, I believe women need to be more confront their opponents head on. I think that women have a tendency in the workplace, number one, to follow male bosses more easily than women bosses. I feel that women have a tendency to stab each other in the back because they're afraid of hurting the other female coworkers' feelings instead of being direct and honest, and it comes back with a stab in the back. And I think that we need to be tougher. And I think that challenge on the field, on a controlled environment where you have rules, regulations, you're allowed to block from the shoulder to the waist, is a wonderful thing to exercise. I also think that rugby is a great sport. Anything that allows for that contact, because there's going to be moments where you hit the ground and the ball is live and you can't sit and cry. You know, if you trip or something happens like on the basketball or on the softball field, you know, you'll have a timeout. But in our game, the ball is live, the game is going on, and you got to learn to be a tough chick, get up, get back in the play. And these are life skills, lessons that are crucial to becoming leaders or just even successful human beings. So there's a lot in this game, and with the semi-blocking from the shoulder to the waist. But I want to say, too, when it comes to the girls, Mary, I've coached many girls' teams, and they just don't know. They don't play a blocking game. They're not as organized as what one might think when you say semi-contact. And so the reality is a girl who is 7, 8, or 9 years old is really not going to be a powerhouse. But as she gets older, she'll start to understand the game more often. And also, in general, with the women's athletes, most of our flag football women use finesse. Granted, the tackle women, they go out there and they carry that tackle mentality onto the flag football field, and that definitely makes it a tougher physical game for the flag football players. But, for example, last year's with those Canadians who play mainly 7-on-7, they were challenged by the Stingrays. Hey, Stingrays is a Miami-based women's tackle team, and the Canadians beat them. Was it with brute force? No. It was finesse and strategy. And that's the beauty of women's flag football that we need to monopolize on. We need to let women understand that we don't have to play that forceful tackle game. We can be smarter, and women are smarter. They're more cognitive out there on the sports field. And that is exactly what the essence of the IWFFA, what we're trying to do. So I wish parents would think a little bit deeper about allowing their daughters to play with the semi-contact. I think that a lot of the women do appreciate the challenge. I don't know if most of our athletes understand the deep meaning of what we're trying to do, the IWFFA. I think a lot of athletes just have fun out there. They're competitive or they want to socialize. And for whatever various reasons our athletes are playing IWFFA, there's always that deeper meaning behind everything, and I wish that our players would understand that as well.
And I think that, you know, as we're all learning, I know our team's learning, that the older women who've learned this rules are getting older. They're getting too old to play this, and we need to be teaching, as it goes right back to our responsibility to be teaching the younger girls and getting them comfortable. And you have to play that social politics game with the parents, because they say no, nothing goes, you know. And it's just all about you know, as we discussed before, having an upgrade, a step-up program for the girls to learn contact flag football. But how do they get there? They got to learn the running skills. They got to learn the running with the ball skills. I mean, you forget that 8-year-olds don't know how to run, let alone run with a ball in their hand. I mean, it's just so elementary to my mind, but it's just that's the way it is. I know, Diane, we're running out of time. We've got 4 minutes left. But we had a lot of really good points this evening about society and how it's changing, and it's changing our sports, and, you know, it's kind of catching up to a lot of our mentalities.
Hey, Mary, maybe, you know, we have a wonderful blog. We have a wonderful Facebook and other media venues. I would, I think perhaps from now until the next third Thursday of the month, that's our radio show time, that women should tell us what they think of our radio and our conversation to add to it. And maybe we can get a little bit more organized with the chat comments, because they've been popping up on the screen, and some of them are pretty good comments. Maybe we should somehow get it organized into our next radio show. What do you say?
You know, great idea, and we'll have to leave that to the next show, Diane. I think we're out of time.
Okie doke.
Okay. All right. Well, good night, everyone. Thanks for listening. You can check out our website, iwffa.com, or visit us on our Twitter at twitter.com/iwffa. Talk to you next month.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.